Tonight to the Gospel by John and in chapter 21. The Gospel by John, chapter 21. John, the fourth Gospel in the New Testament, John's Gospel, and in chapter 21, I'm reading from verse 20. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus said unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that that disciple should not die yet. Jesus said, Not unto him he shall not die. But if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifieth of these things, and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his precious word to all our souls. We would like this evening, by the help of the Lord and by the help of his gracious Holy Spirit, to try and interest you in that particular verse that we read concerning the disciple that Jesus loved. We want to try and see tonight if John really was worthy of that title. And then we're going to see whether the Lord gave him that title in vain or not. So we're going to look this evening. If we could just settle down, we're going to look at what we would call a biography of John the Apostle, so that it should be interesting to everyone, and that everyone would get a grain of corn for their soul. One of the most important things that we find in this man's life, by way of opening, is the remarkable progressiveness of his spiritual experience unto Christ. It is something that we should open with and say publicly that God does expect a measure of progress in all our lives and souls. It is one of the saddest things to behold in life is to see anything, whether it be creature or human, whether it be the lower nature or the higher nature, to see undeveloped life. I want to suggest to you that every sphere in the Bible is marked by progress. All doctrine is progressive. And I want you to understand tonight that everything that you touch in the Bible is progressive. Now, the other evening I suggested to you that the trials of the man of God, they are progressive. You remember we quoted from the book of Jeremiah, if there had run with the footman, and then the horses, and then the waters of Jordan. So the trials for the man of God are progressive. You remember that the great man of God in the midst of Babylon, Ezekiel, he too learned that there was progression. You remember the ankles, and then the knees, and then the loins, and then the waters to swim in. And even dear Paul, when he was telling his story, you would think if he was telling it three times differently, you would wonder really what he had after all. For he told his story differently every time he told it. And yet, the student of the Word of God sees clearly that the thing advances, the light and the great light, and the light beyond the brightness of the noonday sun. It was all growing in the man. But worship to God and appreciation of God is also progressive. Is it in the book of Numbers, chapter 8, we read there concerning the articles of furniture in the tabernacle, we read there of a spoonful, a golden spoonful. You know, when you're dealing with those ointments of the apothecary, you don't need a shovel. You don't need anything, big instrument. You only deal with a spoonful, because it's such a rare thing, a golden spoonful. When you come to the meal offering in Leviticus chapter 2, you notice it's a handful. He shall take out a handful thereof. If you read correctly the 45th Psalm, listen to these words. My heart is inviting a good matter. I speak of the things that I have composed as touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. And there, the heart is full. When you come to the 12th of John, you remember that Mary broke the box, and this is the Spirit coming. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Turn to the book of Isaiah chapter 6, and there you'll find that the seer, the prophet, he saw that the temple of God, the temple was filled with the glory of the Lord. Go down a little bit in Isaiah chapter 6, and he'll see this. Not only is the temple filled, but the whole earth is full of his glory. And so, not only is trial, not only is congestion, not only are many other things, but even worship should be progressive as well. And John showed in his life a remarkable profession to Christ. I want to say without fear of contradiction that progress in spiritual things is equal to likeness to Christ. I say that no man or woman should be satisfied until some, because I know how difficult it is even to get your feet up another rung of the spiritual ladder. But just one step up, another virtue and faith and precious a glory of Christ in your own life. That is the thing that I'm trying to get at. So that program is likeness to Christ. I want you to see that John and his beautiful life. I want to face it because there are some people, when you're preaching, you feel a something coming up from the audience. And that something is this. It's all right preaching about these wonderful people. But that never ever could be the likes of me. You remember that when you read Paul's epistle, you say, well, I never could be like Paul. And then, of course, you read about his understudy, Timothy, who had a sort of Greek father and Jewish mother. And having that sort of background, and yet you never thought that Paul would say of him, I have no man like-minded who will genuinely care for your sake. But see, someone, he slept with Paul, and he preached with Paul, and therefore something of Paul rubbed off onto him. I know what you mean. You were reading in these Bible readings about a man, and it says Epaphras, who is one of you. That takes it away from the apostolic circle, and the second apostolic circle, and it brings it right down to our street, and right down to our town, and brings it right down to our own country. Epaphras, who is one of you. And I do want to suggest to you tonight, for the sake of the comfort and the lifting up of your soul, again, there is nothing that God would not dispense upon any of us who would make ourselves personally available to His power and presence. But there's someone I'm not very impressed with that. Well, I want to suggest to you tonight that John the Apostle, who wrote a gospel, who wrote an epistle, who wrote another epistle, who wrote another epistle, who wrote the Revelation. And by the way, he was such a monument of the grace of God. He had a message for true sinners. He had a message for the family of God. He had a message for family units. And he had a message for a poor, sickly soul, an individual called Gaius. And he had a ministry, historical and dispensational, in the book of the Revelation. What a development in that man's life. But how did he get it started?
He started as a sinner. He started as a sinner. In the last night of the walking beauty, imagine the future coming to such a low level after the high altitude of the week, starting with a sinner.
By the way, there's no progress in your country learning here. I could not believe, and no one would convince you, that this audience is an answer of another sinner. I want to tell you that when he came to John the Baptist to be baptized, I'm sure that John was such a discerning man that he only baptized people who publicly confessed and hated and left their sins.
So he came as a sinner. You're all very, looking very well. And well dressed, and possibly you're doing well, but listen. It all started like this man. It all started when he came to confess that he was a sinner in the sight of God. And that's what we all have to believe that for the moment.
You know, many a one in this room, they discovered they were a sinner and they were saved. And in their spiritual experience, it is true. A full stop. No one's ever given it a hint. No one's ever heard them praying or building their heart before God. No one has ever heard them giving a spiritual contribution in the church. With many just to be a full stop after being saved.
But John was not like that. And I'm not here to tell you again, but I want to say this, that I'm convinced he was the youngest of the group of the apostles. And I want to suggest to you he was the last of them to die. And I want to tell you that he had such grace and faith that lasted him all that long. And
is that the reason he was on the Mount of Transfiguration?
You remember that Peter was there. Because he would need it, wouldn't he? He would need to remember that glory after he left the fall. And James was there, and he would need it because he was going to face the execution of Lot. And John would need it because he had still a very long, long way to go. Irrespective of the experience of lost people, whether it be exceptional, or whether it be short, or whether it be long, he needs these rhythms and loops of faith to enable us and strengthen us on the journey through. I love to think, I could be wrong, I love to think that the two disciples that met John the Baptist and followed Jesus, I always thought to them that one of those here was drawn to the apostles. You remember how they left? God you asked. They left John on the apology. And you know what he said unto them, what he did? They said, Rabbi, there let us go. Come and see, and be abode that night. You know that night was Christ? Was possibly the foundation of that night. That night with Christ, no promise of any luxury, no promise of any future glory, no promise of any future day. He spent that night with Christ. And I say this to everyone in here, you may attend your friend with you, you may know your title, you may be able to discourse and argue the bitter and be the Christ that maybe you turn out to be. But listen, the thing that makes a man and the thing that makes them take over. Not knowledge, and it's not know-how, and it's not who you know.
I tell you that mighty strength of Christ is never ever to be forgotten until it's true. I tell you this, if there's any honesty in this room, and there should be a good deal, the night that have formed men's characters and women's characters in the Christian pathway are those times when they've been alone with. And those times when the pride arises, and the story of it was shallow, hollow life, and
and cried to Christ for grace and help and strength to keep going on. Oh, the life that this man was in with Christ later on,
for this action, he was a seeker after Christ.
Some little question we do not forget, he far without application, for we feel that's the sin of many people. One I want to suggest to you is this. Everyone in here on their own prayer. Oh, this woman I pray, and my husband prays, and when he's not there, I pray myself. Well, I appreciate all that, and I can understand all that. But I'm not talking about prayer. I'm talking about trying to get through the musty, misty clouds of life. I'm trying to get to the throne, and trying to get near to Christ, and even to touch the hem of his garment, that he might be healed and changed and different from what he is. And so he left himself. When he was a young man with his brother James, he got a bad name about himself. Young men generally get a bad name about themselves. I want you to understand that he and James, for the number, always when the fact of his mention, it's generally that person to blame. Miriam and Aaron. James and John. And you remember those meetings in Samaria, how that they were called down fire from heaven, and the Lord had to say to James and John, the sons of Zebedee, he says, you know not what spirit ye are of. I thought in that passage, he was like David when he said, ye sons of Zebediah, you do hard for me. And I thought he could have said at that point, ye sons of Zebedee, ye do hard for me. And when he was very, very young, it had to be a country. There's that one little country, friends and brothers. Let me say this to you, that no one likes to be a Christian. And I want to tell you something that's only easier as you're older. What you trying to get some of the brothers? What you trying to get one over to them? For others, but I can see that you're on anything. But I want to say to you, remember that man with a question. A man never with nothing. Never yet. So I speak to you, that adjustment with the master's life, you'll never find God ever feeling or feeling or feeling like that again. May God in his mercy and someone adjust us and kindly take us aside and put us right. May we have the grace, even though they won't do it with you. Let us have the grace to accept the rebuke and take it as from the Lord, even though the Spirit and gifts of the Spirit go back on you. Wrong. I see my time will walk away from me. For the sake of some of the young people, are you just new to you? Have you no hope at all any offended back there? You know what I mean? And we talk about being free born. But I want to say this to you. If you have seen John's inquiry, that means I'm just reading a letter from you to claim a lot, John's background, John's house. And the old brethren, and the old mother, she was always wanting James and John up in the front. All of James, and they're all strong. You know what I mean? There's an echo in her back, isn't it? Well, you know, the old father, he seemed to be quiet enough. He seemed to accept things. But oh, lady brethren, what about that? Well, if they're strong and James gave up the boat and gave up the fish and gave up the big salary, I'm going to see that they got a big place in the evening. You know, I want to say this to all our women. I and all of them, I tell you this, they got a pure heart if you keep teaching your own breath. And they got a pure heart if you keep teaching your own family. I tell you from my heart of high nobility and of spiritual realm, from you let to see someone else before I get him on. I was at home last Sunday, and you know, just to hear the young prayer, to hear them there. Oh, I sat on my feet, he's like a breaking of bread, and I said, oh, oh, he can bear a man, I never leave you. He's a thing that comes to cover on. whenever it's needed for us.
Well, it's lovely to see you where I am, my where I am. Lovely to see them that thought, lovely to see the other swim off as well.
Oh, the pigs have gone. He loves his children. Going on in the truth, but it is like to see us children, thy children, going on in the truth. Oh, that is not good. That is not good. That is good. That is good. That is good.
Let us move on a little bit, Father. I know that some of the theologians will bow their head and take their head at me. I want you to see that we are progressing with me. I want you to see some form of these people. And then I get to. Then I want you to see that is a real in the parameter that I'm going back to them. In case I won't say that they are.
And then he says, I got a look at them. And then a contrary look. And then I got a real look at them.
And then suddenly my hand was hungry. The people that came out, are we out there in the parameter? Are we out there in my friends?
Are we up here on the northern side of Galilee, on the way and on the hill?
How about the other country? The only part of the way is on the parameter, but it gets the loot and then take up both of them. Oh, there. Oh, woman. Oh, good. The hand of the hand. I leave that because I've left it in my hands. I love it in you. The parameter. When you're 70, I know it well with you. I know it well with you. I know it well with you. Out among the 70, when you're 70. Then the three. The three. And the little maid, just bring back. The three from the mouth. And the three in the garden. Just me. I know you're the person I tell you this.
The Lord doesn't trust his people, brother.
The Lord trusts his people for anything, sir. And the Lord doesn't allow anyone to do it. I tell you, when you read the book of Genesis and read about Abraham's trial, I tell you that some of you could sit back with comfort, because you're not really feeling any of our friends. And you're not really troubled about getting any higher. The problem is not the problem. You're in that life here, and then the 70, then the 12, then the 3, then the 3. Oh, the 3 of the judgment follows. And then one of them trembling, one of them trembling, and one of them ready to cut. Finally, he's left alone, that man, that one man. And he's the only man that gets to the cross. And he's the only man that gets a message from the Lord. And he's the only man that sees those things, and the pattern, and the sorrow, and he hears the working thing. Oh, it's just children. It's someone I think that often is so well. I just agree with you. So bless my friend if you get nearer to the cross. So bless it getting nearer to the cross. So bless it getting under. And taking your stand beside the prison of Christ and beside the slave of God. That's no problem. When all the rest are passed away and hiding and ugly, standing there to be prepared. I know you think I'm naive, but it's really up to me. When I was a young Christian, I used to believe that taking my stand in the little village open area for Christians was quite like standing by the temple. I remember the first time I stood in the church. After being an ungodly young man, I remember standing in the ring with the brethren. And my father came down the street. I'll never forget, I prayed that the very ground would roll up and fall on me. I felt the pain under a cloak. Beneath the cross of Jesus, I claim the statement. Oh, I tell you, the level that you stand is a middle cross sitting room, and cutting, sitting room. And I'm
and position in the breath.
And so you said another thing. So every day, not the day,
had it surrounding your spirit. You took a peep from people who are having the half of it, not less than 50 minutes.
The book is knowing what's wrong. I'm glad he was in the center, and I'm glad
he was among the cells, and I'm glad he got to the key and the truth, but the big thing was.
Well, that would be helpful. Because it would bring you to the corner, and I'll give you a bigger interest in your opinion. And I'll tell you this, I'll give you an interest in the black box. And one point, I've very little seen of people who have an interest in the gospel everywhere else and their own speech and respect for the doing gospel. You'll get to this.
Yeah.
I wouldn't commend anyone to the rest of the day. I've not lived up in the day. And then again, I try to let them go in time and bring them to the ministry. Oh my friend, get to the cross and you got a message. You're the one very, very blessed. If someone before you got a message from the cross, my friend, could you amplify that? Oh yes, I can. Maybe she didn't get office job. He didn't get the job. What job did he get? He got a business job. Oh, in a business job. All of it. For the Lord, he is the son, the fear of his mouth. A man with such wit and a man with such faith. And a man who took that picture of the glory, and he returned to next to the last book in the Bible, none of you come up with what it was, you know. And he was the last
what a man was going to be, this book in his life, the Lord said,
that he really be caring for his name.
Maybe I could talk to you. Maybe there's a fear that in your heart. Maybe you find the old people a little bit upset. Maybe you find them a bit confused. I don't know the rest of you here, but certainly I can't really get that in my mind very well. But the point is, I want to make this point. At this point, he's not written the gospel yet. He's not written the truth yet. He's not written the gospel yet. He's not written the apocalypse yet. He's not done that yet. That's at this point for the Lord.
From the whole government, and that will take us even to your own mouth. I tell you this, I hope you don't misunderstand me. I only just ask a question for you.
I am a white, I am a black, I am a white, I am a white, I am a white, I am a and Joseph
Bonner. But you find out that it has been my own surprise that he's been flattered with your goodness. And I have that question to have the mother of my life and life.
You wonder what his ministry was doing. You wonder that there was something about the man. You're even
trying to prove
you're not the
mother. I tell you this, when you learn this way, and you live this way, and you see a fire filled with awesome and godly people, listen, come to another block of this. You keep me confident. Keep comfort with people that are not the same. Oh, keep away from me. I tell you
why, we'll go and get on you. And we'll meet your own habit. And I'll tell you this, we'll do it again, you're a fool. I don't even think of it as modest, leader, but it is a modest act. Not making on things of that.
Having Mary in the house.
I hope I'm not the only guy I can help. I'm the father of the world, but I'm not wanting. How can I do Mary?
I do want you to know this. Even human is a gift. He's a subject of prophecy.
You have been prophecy. He's a subject of prophecy. He's not the
next time you do the Bible. The last one, the other leader, is the one you see. You know, you have to think of Mary and Pastor, and Mary and Victor, and Mary and Pastor. But you think that Mary and your friend is maybe just a wrong down the ladder. Well, I want to tell you a little bit of you. The God in Matthew tell us to understand.
I'm not trying to antagonize you, you know.
But I do want you to know this. Even she made progress. She's the subject of prophecy.
The virgin, Elton C. She's the subject of history. She brought me the husband.
The next time she's a father. And the last time we ever read about it is in your son. You know, we love to think of Mary and Prophetess, and Mary and Hysteress, and Mary and Calvary, but we think that Mary and the Ascendi is maybe just a rung down the ladder. Well, I want to tell you, I disagree with you. The God in Nashville gave us to understand that next to being at the cross, one of the holiest honors, sacred luxuries in life, is to be in God's Ascendi. And so I come on a little bit further. The caretaker. Paul went up to Jerusalem and being an observant man, everyone that comes anywhere should be an observant man. By that I mean, you should not walk about not just be looking for little bits and pieces. Neither should he be a detective in any way. A spiritual man. Very observant. He says, when I went to the church, there wasn't any there of the people that were big in it, but he says, certain people were there, and he mentions Jonah. He said, you seem to be pillars. Pillars in the church. Now, some people think that Paul is being cynical there. I never could accept that at all. But what I want to say to you is that he saw that these men that were there, including John, were pillars in the church. It's a long way from the Galilean boat, isn't it, and the coast, and now he's acknowledged as a pillar in the church. Well, anyone knows that a pillar is a key thing. A pillar is to uphold something. And on these pillars were the most beautiful decorations that you ever saw. And that's what John was in the church. He was holding things together and holding up. And not only was he holding things together, but there was something lovely and admirable about him. I wonder if we could blend together in our lives stability and real spiritual and moral beauty. Have you got my point? You know, we're either all sugar or all salt. We're so extreme. But here's a man and he's absolutely stable. And yet, in his life, he's beautiful. Oh, that was also, he was a pillar in the church. I want to come on just a little bit further. I want to suggest to you again, I went over it before, I don't need to fill in time, but I want to suggest to you that such was his development and balance in life that you can't help seeing that John had a message for the brothers. Now, generally, I want to say this to you. I know that people have brought their own peculiar gifts. But I want you to see tonight that the real spiritual man of God
The man that lives near to Christ and leans on his bosom and breathes in that air of hope, he always has a heart or a verse or an exercise about the Muslims. There's never a verse like 3 of John and verse 16. There never, ever has been the likes of it. I could not be certain whether John inserted it or Jesus said it. I'm not quite sure. But this I know.
I know that it has been the means and the hand of the Spirit of God to bring as many to Christ as ever I've known. And so, the man who walks with Christ and lives with Christ and leans on Christ will always have about the gospel.
And well, that is true. He'll equally have an exercise about the family of God. That's John.
May that come over too. And may I say this, and I know I may be misjudged on this point, but I do think that those who speak the gospel and those who are the Lord's servants, I do think that these too should be developing their gifts and behave. And if they have one gift, they should be asking the Lord for complementary gifts.
Ones that would go well with what they already have.
Oh, aren't the rivers of God full of water?
Aren't the rivers of God full of water? Those are those other gifts that are complementary to the ones that you already have.
Thank God he had an interest in people's families. And he wrote to the elect and the children.
And in that passage he wants them to be secure. And he doesn't want them to be moved away from sound doctrine. And he wants to warn them concerning those that come and bring not this doctrine that Jesus is the Christ.
And so he has a love for family unit. Have you a love for family unit? Oh, John had a love for the Brunswick. He had a love for the church. Did I say, I know it's the family of God in that section. Ah, but he had a love for individuals. He wasn't too busy. And he wasn't too busy. Are you listening? To call him a friend, to write a letter to an ailing man, to visit the sick there. John wrote to his well-beloved wife whom he loved in the truth. And oh, that man, what visions he brought on the Isle of Patmos, you know, he never thought he would spend his last years in the jail. I know you don't like that, neither do I. But sometimes the choices that God's servants have ended up in some of the worst Christian countries. I could prove it from Scotland. There's a man that everyone in here owes something to. In the half of our New Testament, the Lord to Paul. And there came a time when he wrote a letter and it was very scary. The rope that I left at Troas was half of them. And the book was that man was in the good of the kingdom. I know that. But that man had only one quote. I want to suggest to you a few things. And I want to say that here's a man and you would have said, they would have died in the kingdom. And he would have died in the kitchen, and his feet on the back. But he spent his last days in the Isle of Patmos, and there seems to be a thrilling call to be telling about Isaiah, whether in the Isle of Patmos, for the work of God, and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. It is something. I've just done a bit, so now, not that I have something to say, I want you to see that this title, the disciples in Jesus' love, I want you to notice first of all, this is very obvious. He never said that he loved Christ, but he said that Christ loved him. Oh, he didn't say that he loved Christ. Well, that was all true. But he was called the disciple that Jesus loved. You know, when you read that kind of a thing, you say, if he has a good word, if he's compassionate, For the first thing I knew, there was a living apostle, the Spirit of the Christ, that joined into the table that we have come.
That not a man ever wrote to see,
that rock is not me.
But this from the night of the woman, did he not love them all? Who he did? Did he not love them all equally? Who he did?
Ah, but he loved them.
Why did Christ love John to a degree that the others never felt? It was because
there was a tell me in the reading of your Bible, is there anyone in the New Testament that ever knew Jesus?
You get Mary at Jesus' feet, that's correct. And on the corn there. You get Peter at Jesus' knees.
There's only both that lead you from Jesus.
Now the two things keep you from Jesus. The things that make you reticent. Either tear off speaking, either they're cold, either they're inaccessible, or they don't make themselves available, or they're not appropriate. These are all the reasons that keep you from Jesus.
But John, he felt safe when he wanted it. He always found safe for you.
And he always found him up.
And he always found him up. A book. Let me illustrate it to you. If someone has John, that's right. You remember the day when the Pharisees were, Jesus was there. I tell you what the woman commands. You never commend by invitation. That's what it is. There is something about the disposition of Christ that made that woman to know and see that he would be and he would be. And that was a woman of faith. Well, let us tell you, climb up onto his knees and drop himself at home. Now the other disciples, they never seen the Jesus leaving and take it with a reason of this,
either the passage is unapproachable, or either the other passage is
doomed. And so, maybe afraid to be seen. Maybe afraid for the shadows to be revealed. And possibly some of the deeper reasons why we're not here today is that we are actually afraid to be exposed.
We're afraid that all our secrets and shadows are all exposed. And all of the things about it, oh, don't miss this. That's the thing that
should
happen. It's the only way to prove it.
It's for those that today pose a sense of action and sense of correction and sense of action. I don't want you to make a mistake. I don't want you to ever think that John has a monopoly of Jesus Christ. It wasn't his fault. It wasn't his alone, but he utilized it. He utilized it. So don't be hot when I say this. Five people have made progress unto Christ to come to this. And they have looked. And they have been near us. And they have spoken to us. I find it very difficult to say this. Not that there's any reticence in his heart, but the terrible consciousness in my heart, and shame on my heart, And so, you see the point I'm making. I also gave beauty that title. It is based on the Bible reading of incognito. That's wearing that glasses so people don't know you too well. Lots of people do it in holidays. I know it is sort of strong and all that. But the point I want to say to you is, John wanted to keep himself unknown. And he wanted to be incognito in that sense. And he doesn't keep saying, I'm John, I'm John, I'm John, I'm John. He says, I'm the disciple. I'm that disciple. I will not be our ground. Oh, brethren, listen. One of the saddest things is to project ourselves. We could have been better, maybe. He could have been bigger titles, but he called himself the disciple. One of you look at that, then I move on. Did you notice this one? As you don't get other things that you get in the other disciples, he's never captured. He's never planted. He's never awed. He's never fallen in his heart. There's something lovely about this man. He's not cold and controlled. He's soft. But he's straight. And he's solid. He's soft, but he's not a cop. There's none of those things that we weep about. And that's what in the sentence of us. There seems to be nothing of that over them. In John. You see, he's been drinking at a throat and feeding in at Christ. And those features become very, very beautifully developed. And this one is this set of things I'm going to say to you are just for the young people. No people can sit there and just sit there. This is for the young people. We call them the first time. Now that sense of you, and we will teach it up. Are you teachable? Do you put yourself in a position to do that? Is there something more important going on the evening on the ministry night? Is that? But a disciple is one who is teachable. But many would love to teach, but it's another thing to be teachable.
Now it seems to be a disciple, and the first thing about a disciple is that he's teachable.
Can you be taught? Can you be told? Can you be instructed? There's one in a particularly bad man to say that he's doing.
I want to tell you that in this room you'll never ever be a man with a father.
And we'll give you an idea.
There will never be any idea with a father.
And you're still in a forest, and a fight.
You're threatened that you have gone more
times. The end of the future of every people is a teacher. Not only so, but as a disciple, and the power of Christ, he knew what it was to be sacrificial. Did he not leave the boat? Did he not leave the job? Did he not leave the money, and the balance, and the business?
And there's a true disciple, and there's a true disciple who knew what it was to live sacrificial. May God give you to understand that that is possibly the way about some people's ministry, is that they know how to live sacrificially.
Another thing I noticed about the disciples was that they had to learn to live in here. They had to learn to live in the Father. You know, it's easy to make a soul run to heaven.
There is another thing to work with us. Share with us.
You see another. We are the only one. And it's alone to be in you.
I would like to say to you young men, to get your own way, and to get all the time, and give it a top job, I want to tell you a thing that will bring you to a state of misery.
It's longer to work together. It's longer to be considerate one of another. It's longer to be kind one to another, this brotherly kindness. It's longer to work in you. Can you see the truth that come out of that in our context?
Because I'm drawn.
That vigorous, bold, energetic, impetuous man,
and that meditative, contemplative, lovely girl, by the way, they can never ever fall.
Figure on! It makes little difference.
It would be my conviction to you that every teacher would like to be a drunk, and every girl would like to be a man. Sometimes when I'm teaching, I wish a thousand times I teach the other people.
I wish I could stand still them, be quiet them, and understand them, and be nice to them.
And every teacher would love to be a good. And every girl would love to be a good. But complimented with that.
And that the beautiful gates of heaven would go on. And they preach together. And they're in the jail together.
And we move on. Oh, how sweet. And how pleasant a center. For pleasant to dwell together. In unity. The first great thing is living in unity with those who are deep and humble. And of course, I want to say finally to the young people, I hope you get the fourth point. But of course, I hope you get the fourth point. I want you to know that what I said is counsel is Christ. He was a mental lawyer. All of you were lawyers. So that is your experience in your life. I'm going to say, because you're hearing meetings and listening to preaching and living here to say, brought into John, what and brother, and an infusion of, and a love, and a tenderness that one will bring to you. Living with the group, living with the brethren, what, even though they can't be the right thing, they don't bring that warmth and genuineness of living with Christ within that continuous oneness that marks that man. I'm trying to just finish it properly. I love even his very last word. I love his very last word, you know. But I think that was even through unbelief. His listening to the about 10 years. He's the Daniel, he's the Ezekiel, he's the Enoch of the New Testament. And after having lived with him, and looked for him, and watched the Christ and said them through all the opportunities of those years, this is the very time, even so kind, Lord Jesus. You think I'm still living for him? I'm speaking for him. Ah, there is one love with him. I want to be in there. I'm longing to be in peace. I'm longing to feel the warmth of his presence upon my feet. I'm longing to feel his warm hand and mind and leading me to the power of even faith and labor. I think that what we do, that we must believe that man, the disciple whom Jesus was, he was something of the temple that we do now. I wonder when that day comes. I wonder what pleasure will be given you. I was thinking for a minute. I wonder what our name will be in heaven. I tell you this, as our name, or others are indicative of our character, you can imagine I dream that we will be good. Oh, that man was called the love, and he was the love of Christ. Christ was the love of him. And at the end of his life, he was at the end of his life, even, so even.
Yeah.